Welcome to the latest podcast from the award-winning employment team at McLeay, Murray and Spence. I'm Christine Jardine and later we'll be looking at flexible working. But first, I'm joined by the head of the employment team, Jane Fraser, to help us look at the issue of the transfer of undertaking protection of employment regulations, or TUPE as they're better known. Now, this is quite an issue at the moment, isn't it?
There's nothing particularly new about the TUPE regulations. We've had them now for, 26 years. But 18 months ago, amending regulations came in to deal with some of the more acute problems that had been dogging businesses actually trying to operate within these regulations. What we've seen in the last few months are the beginnings of the first cases as a result of these new regulations. And it's quite clear that there are sections of the business community that are going to have to address this that were perhaps less affected in the past.
As I understand it, the situation is that if you lose a contract for something, you may also lose the member of staff who's been managing that contract because they go with the service. Is that correct?
Absolutely. It's always been the position that if you sold a whole of a business or if you contracted out a substantial part of the business or a self-contained part of the business, then the staff would transfer with that business. What's changed now is what's known as the service provision amendments in TUPE. And what this is providing for is, for example, professional services, which are not necessarily a business within the business, but they could be subject to a transfer of staff. So in a very simple example, you decide to change lawyers. It may be if you've had a dedicated lawyer working on your account, that lawyer then transfers with the business.
Is that not a recipe for chaos?
It certainly can be, unless you are thinking very carefully ahead. And there are three basic stakeholders here, and each of them have got very serious considerations. We have obviously the original employer who needs to look after their staff. We have the new customer or client who has to think very carefully about whether or not they're going to end up with the same member of staff effectively in a different uniform. And then there is the employee themselves who may well have concerns about being transferred to a new firm, business or agency without them necessarily being happy to do so.
Now, are there ways of avoiding this or working round the problem?
If you're an employer and you have professional staff who are working on dedicated accounts for clients, have a think about quite how vulnerable you are in the event of a contract loss. Now, it may be that the staff are so specialised that, in fact, if you lost the account, you wouldn't have anything for those staff to do. And therefore, this development is perhaps not unwelcome. However, this is a very difficult market for recruiting skilled staff generally, and maybe you want to keep your staff. So think about making sure that roles are split as possible. Try to think round how we can have staff identified, particularly with one client, because that's when there's a vulnerability.
So is the key then plan ahead and think about what might happen?
Absolutely. And if you do think that you have a dedicated member of staff who is vulnerable to transfer, have a chat to that member of staff, because if you want to keep them and they want to stay, there is a way through that. They can object to transferring and you can retain them, but there is a formal legal process they've got to go through. It's quite straightforward. You can get around it, but you can't do that after the event. So it's very, very important to think ahead, speak to the staff involved and plan accordingly.
Thank you very much. Turning now to the issue of flexible working, I'm joined by Laura Meaney from the employment team and by Katie Crook from Martin Currie. First of all, turning to you, Laura, an employer is approached by an employee who says, I would like to work flexible hours, part-time, work from home. How should you handle it?
Employers should bear in mind that certain employees have a statutory right to request flexible working, and that request has to be handled in a certain way. Employees with a right to request flexible working include those with children under the age of 6 or those with children under the age of 18 who are disabled. The right is also extended to partners of parents of those children. As of April this year, the right was also extended to people who care for adults over the age of 18 who are in need of care.
That would seem to imply, however, that there are circumstances where you can say, no, it's not suitable to work flexibly.
That's correct. The right is only to request flexible working. There's no obligation on the employer to grant that request. If, for example, the request would involve a burden of additional costs on the employer, or if it would have a detrimental effect on their ability to meet customer needs, then they can refuse that request. Similarly, if there would be an inability to reorganise existing employees to cover the work of the employee making the request, or if it would be difficult to appoint someone else to cover that work, then the request can be refused.
Are there implications, though, when you say yes for the terms and conditions of employment, for example?
Any acceptance of a request to work flexibly would be permanent unless it was otherwise stated. So employers should bear that in mind when accepting any request.
So I can't, for example, say, well, we'll try it for 6 months?
That's possible, yes, as long as that's stated at the outset.
Turning now to Katie Crook, an HR specialist with Martin Currie. You already have flexible working. How easy a process is it?
It's actually a remarkably easy process. We monitor it by having close discussions with anyone who approaches us looking for flexible working practices. We speak with them, we speak with their team leader and the HR business partner for that particular area is very much involved in it. We always look at it as a process. We look at the actual role. We look at what kind of flexibility they're looking for, because it's not always necessarily a part-time role. It may be just wanting to work from home or perhaps with compressed hours. We need to look at the actual job content and actually look at how that job can be done in less time. So certain parts of the job need to be removed.
And are there certain areas where it works better than others?
Yes. It has to be said, you will never be able to do flexible working in every part of every business. I think that most jobs, however, can have a flexible approach, and particularly in our IT team, for instance, there's something like between 10 and 20% of the staff in our IT team work flexibly. And as I say, that could be working from home one day a week, working compressed hours, or perhaps working in a part-time role.
Do you think it's made Martin Currie a better place to work? Staff are happier?
I think it definitely helps people feel more loyal towards a business if we have looked at what kind of work they do and made their hours more appropriate for their work-life balance. You certainly inspire loyalty. You're more likely to retain staff if they have the working hours that they are looking to do. And as long as you've got the person, the team and the manager's buy-in to the process, it generally works exceedingly well for everybody.
Coming back to you again, Laura, how can organisations ensure that they effectively manage flexible working?
It's important that organisations ensure that their workforce are aware of the right to request flexible working and the fact that it is only a right to request and the employer can refuse. It's also important that line managers are trained in the appropriate procedures to be followed, as if these procedures aren't followed, then the organisation is exposed to a risk of tribunal claims.
Thank you very much. If you'd like to find out more about these or other issues, you can check out the website at www.mms.co.uk/EPB.